Chapter 20, Fight. I knew that competition was the way to make jiu-jitsu and MMA grow in our little country. A few MMA-like tournaments were trying their luck with mixed success. My interest was still mostly in the grappling aspect of the sport, and in 2001, I decided to set up the first grappling competition in the country. I had built a website for the Danish martial arts community, and through the network developed on its discussion forum, we managed to attract the who's who of grapplers in the country. Most people had signed up for the no-gi competition, but there was also a small interest in gi, and to me, it was only a question of the more the merrier. I had never trained with a gi before, but was eager to get some matches on my record, so I bought a cheap one for the occasion. With my mother's sewing machine, I plastered it with patches. I had seen that the Brazilians had tons of patches on their gis, and I wanted to do the same. I didn't have any real ones, so I just cut out some t-shirts with a pair of scissors. I remember having patches from a bungee jump I did in Spain, one with a blue cat and a flagpole with a Danish flag on the chest. It looked ace. I felt the adrenaline stiffening my body as it was my turn to step on the mat. It was my first grappling competition ever, and I'd had to arrange it myself to make it happen. The matches were a mess. I had no idea what I was doing. At one point, I had one of the opponent's head and arm between my legs for a triangle choke, but couldn't remember any details on the finish. I had only seen it once on one of our VHS tapes a few months earlier and never really practiced it. I got on top of a Norwegian guy and passed his guard with the least technical guard pass I have seen in my life to this date. I found myself in side control and recalled having seen the position somewhere but not remembering what to do from there. I managed to win a few matches and went straight home to the gym to find out what went wrong so it could be fixed for next time. It was small steps, but they were on the right path. For every competition, I learned something new, and all the little gyms around the country really began to work hard towards taking home the big trophies I had bought. I didn't win any of them myself. A young, talented guy called Martin, who is now fighting in the UFC, took all of them instead. After having trained for about 4 years, I was intrigued by the thought of having an MMA fight. I had played around with the thought of getting a fight in Portland when I was there for training, but it didn't work out. With all the grappling tournaments I had been setting up and competing in, I felt it was time to push my competitive career to the next level. Having just been promoted to blue belt was a confidence boost for me. It was like a confirmation that our little gym was going in the right direction, and we somehow knew what we were doing. Knowing that competition was a good vehicle for improving and pushing myself, I thought that trying out MMA would be the next natural step. We had been training more striking and clinching than ground fighting at that point, so I was comfortable in my skills. I started talking to a few of the guys around the country who had ideas of promoting shows. It was a small community and everyone knew each other. One of them offered me a fight with a really experienced guy from the other BJJ gym in town, Nikose. He already had a handful of MMA fights on his record and was an overall impressive competitor. I knew I wouldn't stand a chance against him, so I told him that I didn't think it was a good matchup. During the time they were working on finding another opponent for me, the show got cancelled due to some issues that I didn't recall. At the same time, I had signed up for Fight Back, another show that also got cancelled. I kind of postponed the idea of fighting a bit. The nervousness that followed along with just signing up was already hard to bear, so both shows getting cancelled was almost a relief. I wanted to fight, but on the other hand, I didn't. A shoot fighting show was held a few months later, and I was in the spectator seats as always. It was a weird kind of fight with amateur MMA rules, open hand strikes, and grappling only when the competitors were on the ground. Guy Mesker was there since he was doing a seminar in town. I had the occasion to roll with him a little bit, and he manhandled me as expected. At the end of the show, he stepped into the ring and announced to the audience that he was going to be fighting in the first ever professional MMA show in Scandinavia. It would be held 3 months later in Copenhagen and the fights would be in a cage. At that time, events only had boxing rings and the only place I had ever seen a cage was in VHS videos from the early UFC shows. Psyched up from watching all the matches during the day, I got caught up in the moment. I told my friends from the gym that if it would be in a cage, I would sign up right away. Having said it out loud, I couldn't take it back. I knew that. Somehow, I needed to trick myself into a situation where I couldn't run away and had to step up to the challenge. The promoter was one of my good friends from the martial arts community, and I found him after the show. I told him, with a lump in my throat, that he could sign me up for December. He would already start finding an opponent for me the following week. Shit, there was no turning back now. I had to do it. Full contact, professional rules, in a cage. Small gloves, no shin pads, no nothing. Just me and my opponent, whoever he would be. We had just started up the new gym in the judo place a few months earlier. For the first time, I had facilities whereby I could train every day, all day if I wanted to. Fighting MMA would be a great way to promote the newly opened gym. By stepping in the cage, I wanted to prove to myself and those I trained with that I believed in what I was teaching. With all the debates online about what system and training methods were the best, I would show that at least I wasn't afraid to test out my claims. The promoters were fast. They already called me the following week and told me they had an opponent for me. It was a guy I already knew pretty well. His name was Sonny, and he trained in another town about an hour and a half away from me. We had met and trained on several occasions. I considered him a friend, and it was a bit weird to think about fighting him, but the options were few, and I didn't want to try and find an excuse to back out. I said yes to the fight, signed the contract, and put it in the mailbox. No time to stop and think about it. From that day on, and every second until I stood in the cage 3 months later, my thoughts were concentrated on nothing else but the fight. I couldn't get it out of my head. What would happen? Would I lose? Could I die? What would everyone say if I lost? Would people leave the gym? I wasn't listening when people were talking to me. I didn't pay attention to my girlfriend. I couldn't sleep. When I hit the back in the gym, I was completely in my own world. Going home from training in the bus, I would suddenly wake up from my thoughts and realize that I had gone 2 or 3 stops too far. My mind was taken over by thoughts about the fight. It consumed me. We had no idea how to go about the training for a fight like this. My biggest concern was my cardio and my weight. I only had to lose 3 kilos, but knew nothing about cutting weight. Even though there would be a weigh-in the day before, we didn't even think about just cutting the weight there. I decided to diet my way under 77, so I would weigh that on the day. Since I had to get lighter, it seemed logical that I shouldn't do any weightlifting or physical training for the fight in case I would add muscle mass. Today, that is a totally stupid idea to me, of course, but we didn't know any better back then, really. One of my training partners, who was studying to become a physiotherapist, came up with a simple cardio program for me. Instead of running, I would do interval striking on a heavy bag every morning. With a fresh blue belt around my waist, or actually not, since I didn't train with a gi, I felt really confident in my grappling and thought that I didn't need to train that as much. I was more concerned about not being experienced enough in the striking, since the only stand-up competition I had done was a single taekwondo match at the age of 11. Especially, the thought of getting hit with the small gloves was scary. Everything in consideration, I decided to do an hour of Muay Thai sparring with the small gloves every morning. My training partner was a heavy guy with a lot of experience, and he basically beat me up for 3 months to the point where I could eat nothing but yogurt in periods, since my jaw was so sore. I didn't really weigh myself, but just assumed that I would be under 77 by the time of the fight. Another thing I was worried about was fighting without shin pads. To become accustomed to the pain of potentially getting hit hard on the shin, I would kick the metal pole of the bus stop outside of the gym for about 15 minutes every day while I waited for the bus to get home. Van Damme would have been proud. In the evenings, I was still teaching classes and didn't get to train much. I felt a bit frustrated that I didn't get the focused training I needed, but on the other hand, I knew that when I stepped into the cage, so many other factors would play a role. The training itself was only a small part of what would influence the outcome on the day. After a few months of full-on stand-up sparring with small gloves, cardio workout on a heavy bag, no weightlifting, no grappling, kicking a bus stop, and only eating chicken with vegetables, the time had come. Today, it seems like the strangest preparation for an MMA fight ever, and it probably was. Despite that, it worked. I had come to a point where I had got hit in the face so many times that I just didn't care about it anymore. In sparring, I would block strikes with my forehead just to get to an opening on my opponent. I could block the hardest kicks with my shins and ignore the pain. My cardio felt great, and I just kept going forward. Sonny could hit me as hard as he wanted, and I wouldn't care. I had already won the hardest fight that I'd signed up for, the fight against my own fear. At the weigh-in the day before, I stepped on the scale, 74.5 kilos. I had lost almost 6 kilos and was way below my weight. My opponent was 76.5. It was nice to see him in real life after having had his image in my mind for so long. He was shorter than me, which was somehow a comfort. My apartment was pretty close to the venue. I had been there in the morning to set up some cameras, since I was also in charge of the DVD production of the show. Another thing that seems completely silly thinking of it now. The sports hall was still lit up by the sunlight coming through the windows, and standing in the cage didn't seem frightening at all. There was no audience yet, only a few guys walking around setting up chairs. I tried to look inside myself for nervousness, but there was nothing. I was completely calm, and more than anything, I felt excited to get in there and get it over with. The fight card was stacked with big names. Guy Mesker, Travis Luter, and Martin Kampmann were all there, along with several other stars from the Scandinavian scene. I had the first match, and it suited me well. As the place was getting darker, people started to show up. I still didn't feel nervous as I walked around the venue and chatted to my friends. One of the runners told me that they would be starting my match 30 minutes later. Then it hit me like a freight train. The adrenaline dump was massive. My legs were wobbly and I was shaking heavily. I asked one of the experienced Norwegian fighters if he was also nervous as we stretched out next to each other in the warm-up room. Always, he replied. My training partner and the co-owner of the gym, Karsten, held the pads for me and pushed me really hard. He shouted at me to kick harder to get myself together. I felt horrible. There was no power in my punches or kicks. I couldn't lift my leg. My stomach was turning and I felt like throwing up. I had never been that much under pressure before and it was mentally the toughest time of my life. I decided in my head that I was going to tell the organizers that I had to bail. Before I knew it, the runner came into the room and called my name. I looked at Karsten with desperation in my eyes. I couldn't do it. It was too overwhelming. I observed my legs walking through the door to the hall. The announcer called my name and the spotlight hit my eyes. Everyone stood up in the chairs and started cheering. I had so many friends, training partners, and family members in that hall. That very second, everything changed. My body stopped shaking and my eyes focused. 5 minutes earlier, I had been exposed to the biggest adrenaline shock of my life, but that suddenly felt like the past. I stopped thinking. My mind was empty and I walked over the floor towards the cage, moving fluidly. I was in complete autopilot mode and the world around me seemed quiet and calm. I stepped in the cage and high-fived Sonny. He looked nervous and pale. The referee asked me if I was ready. I didn't notice my mouth moving, but I heard myself replying with a yes. Sonny stepped towards me and the only thing I could see was how big his arms looked. I thought to myself that I didn't feel like getting hit by them, and before I knew it, I had ducked under his jab and taken him down with a double leg. Despite having trained nothing but striking, I didn't have any game plan for the fight. Now, I had taken him down in the first seconds and all the morning trainings where I'd gotten hit in the head were suddenly irrelevant. He felt light. The other guys I usually trained with were almost 20 kilos heavier than him. I mounted him easily and thought to myself that I'd better finish the fight right there so I wouldn't risk burning out on the cardio later. Knee on belly. Mount. I started hitting him in the face, but it was like a bad dream. Nothing happened. I kept hitting him again and again, aiming for the eyebrows and chin to either cut him or knock him out. He was desperately waving his arms in front of his head, trying to deflect the punches. The crowd went wild. I couldn't believe that the referee didn't step in. I threw the punches as hard as I could, but he was as tough as nails and wouldn't give in. Then he sat up and reversed me. Everyone got up from their chairs, cheering. I couldn't believe it. It wasn't over. The desperation hit me for a second as he was lying on top of me in my guard. I could feel something wasn't right in my shoulder. I shook it off and got back in focus. An attempted flower sweep set up a perfect strike to his face. He was starting to swell up badly around both eyes. I was breathing heavily and my shoulder hurt, so I knew I had to finish him. He grabbed around my neck with his right hand, trying to set up a punch with his left. My jiu-jitsu instinct took over and I climbed my leg over his shoulder, then his head. His arm was in the perfect position and I pulled it, probably too hard, but I was desperate. I was in a fight and it wasn't me. I didn't feel him tap, but as the audience cheered, I let go. The referee signaled for us to stop the fight. A loud, primal scream came out of my mouth from deep within as I clenched my fist and raised my arms over my head. All the thoughts, worries, and frustrations that had built up over 3 months came out in that scream. I had finished the fight by submission after 1 minute and 37 seconds into the first round. For myself, I knew immediately that it was the end of my MMA career. I wasn't interested in the mental pressure of the preparations. I went in there to prove to myself and everyone I teach that I believe in what I do and that I'm not afraid to put it to the test. I completed the challenge and that was enough for me. I was not, and never will be, a fighter. Sonny looked horrible, and I felt almost sad for him as he stood there with ice packs on two enormous black eyes. On the other hand, things could only go forward for him from there. He went on to fight more than 15 times over the following 6 years and became one of the best guys in Scandinavia with only 3 losses on his record. He's a lot tougher than I will ever be.